This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, December 1st. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, legal issues in the news. Amy Guida tells us about the issue of standing. Also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Keezer. First, today's news. The Illinois State Treasurer says he wants to curb corruption of the state's five pension systems and that he'll unveil a plan today that would pool billions of dollars in investments. State Treasurer Alexi Janulius told the Chicago Tribune yesterday that Illinois could save between $50 and $80 million a year if investment duties for the five government employee retirement systems were merged. The treasurer's overhaul would also put board members under stricter ethical standards. The current plans separately represent teachers, lawmakers, judges, state workers, and university employees. The merged board would be called the Illinois Public Employees Retirement System. Part of President-elect Barack Obama's plan to stimulate the economy involves the government paying for construction projects. Senator Dick Durbin says Illinois needs to start thinking about what projects it would want to be included. Amanda Vinicky has the story.
Durbin, the number two Democrat in the U.S. Senate, says he expects Congress to approve a stimulus package so it's ready for signing once Obama's inaugurated.
And so what I'm looking to are projects, Illinois-specific projects, that may be helpful to stimulate our economy in our state.
Durbin says top on his list is FutureGen, an innovative coal-based power plant that was slated to be built in Mattoon before the Department of Energy pulled the plug. He also says he'll recommend expanding Amtrak, specifically two new lines, both starting in Chicago. One would go through Rockford and Galena. The other would go through the Quad Cities and end in Iowa. Whether the federal government will pay for it all or if Illinois will have to chip in is undecided. Illinois leaders have been unable to agree on a way to come up with such money. Durbin says the state should quickly pass a plan if it wants to be in position to capitalize on any stimulus package funding. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Governor Rod Blagojevich says Illinois residents should know that he didn't want to shutter seven state parks and a dozen historic sites, but he needed to make the closings to balance the budget. Blagojevich put out that statement yesterday, the same day that parks and historic sites were to close. In the statement, the governor asked Illinoisans to understand the closings had to be made to offset a $2 billion budget deficit. The governor said he would continue to take steps to reduce the shortfall so that Illinois has a budget that works. Blagojevich announced a long list of park and historic site closures back in August, along with other state layoffs. Last week, he agreed to restore some of the money, including funds to keep four of the originally targeted 11 parks open, including Vermilion County's Kickapoo State Park. But three other parks in central Illinois, Weldon Springs, Wolf Creek, and Moraine View, are now closed. A former union organizer will be sworn in as a Champaign County board member during tonight's organizational meeting. Urbana Democrat Samuel J. Smucker will fill the District 8 seat held for 30 years by Jennifer Putman. AM580's Jim Meadows reports.
Samuel Smucker spent 10 years as an organizer for the United Electrical Workers in the AFL-CIO prior to his current job as a non-faculty staff member with the U of I Department of Bioengineering. Despite his union background, Smucker says he won't automatically take the side of labor when it comes to issues like the financial health of the county nursing home.
Certainly, while the many years I have in labor relations informs my understanding of what's going on at the nursing home, I think that as a public official, you're required to take a much broader perspective.
Smucker says the county's hiring of a private management firm to run the nursing home is an acceptable short-term solution as long as the home is eventually returned to county management. Smucker says he's also interested in sustainable development, whether it's discouraging urban sprawl or looking into energy-saving technology for county facilities. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
In addition to Smucker, former Champaign City Councilman Geraldo Rosales will be sworn in as a new Champaign County board member tonight. At what's known as the Supermax prison in deep southern Illinois, inmates spend most of their time in solitary confinement. And as Jenna Dooley reports, ex-prisoners are now speaking out about the conditions there.
Daryl Cannon is a former inmate at the Tams Prison in Alexander County. It provides the highest level of security for the most violent offenders. Cannon says he spent 9 years in solitary confinement. He says he was kept away from all human contact, and the drab environment led fellow inmates to attempt suicide. Cannon says the experience at Tams was inhumane.
We know what got them there, doing the crime and they doing the time. But we also must create with TAMS a way for them to come out of there.
Cannon and other advocates support a measure that would limit the stay at TAMS to 1 year. It would also prohibit prisoners with a serious mental illness. According to the Department of Corrections, inmates are sent to TAMS if they pose a threat to prison staff or other inmates. A department spokesman says the agency reviews every prisoner that enters TAMS and releases them from solitary confinement if they demonstrate positive behavior. I'm Jenna Dooley.
President-elect Barack Obama's inauguration is still more than a month away, but tickets to the event are going fast. Members of Congress have been given some passes to give out to their constituents. Dan McDonald is a spokesman for Illinois Congressman Bill Foster. He says he has about 198 tickets to hand out, but he says that won't be enough to satisfy all the requests.
We just want to make sure that we give 14th District residents the best opportunity for first tickets as we can.
McDonald says his office has decided to set up a lottery as a way of distributing those tickets. He also says some of them are reserved for local officials who helped Obama's campaign. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. If you're like many others in the United States, you got swept up in this year's election and cared deeply about the outcome. But that level of concern doesn't give you the legal right to sue. Commentator Amy Guida considers the issue of standing in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Maybe they've been emboldened by various get-out-the-vote campaigns. Maybe they just really cared about this year's presidential election and wanted to get involved beyond voting. Or maybe they were inspired by Bush v. Gore. Whatever the reason, a number of people across the United States have filed lawsuits this year arguing that one or both of the major party presidential candidates couldn't satisfy a key constitutional provision, and therefore, if elected, could not serve as president. These plaintiffs have based their lawsuits on this line in the United States Constitution. No person, except a natural-born citizen, shall be eligible to the office of president. That's a line of special interest to me because my oldest son was born in the Netherlands. Being born on foreign soil, though to two American parents, is he a natural-born citizen or not? Can he become president someday or not? If you ask Philip Berg or Kurt Rotnowski or Fred Hollander those questions, they would surely answer no. Those men are among those who've argued that Barack Obama or his campaign rival were not natural-born and therefore could not satisfy what the Constitution requires to be president. The candidates' histories aren't my concern here, though I'm absolutely satisfied that President-elect Obama's Hawaiian birth certificate proves citizenship, frantic internet conspiracy theorist bloggers aside. Instead, I find it fascinating that ordinary people have decided to go to court to argue that someone else shouldn't be president. Just because someone cares deeply about a cause, and here there's little doubt that these lawsuits are politically motivated, so there's deep caring, doesn't mean that he or she has the right to sue. And that's precisely what the courts in these five cases have decided so far, that the plaintiffs, caring as they may be, simply aren't connected enough to what they're arguing to press the claim in court. It's a problem of what the law calls standing. In federal court, a plaintiff must have suffered an injury, the injury must be connected to the defendant's conduct, and the problem at issue must be capable of resolution if the court should side with the plaintiff. In order to try to get around this standing rule, the plaintiffs in these lawsuits have argued that they are, in effect, disenfranchised voters, that their votes ultimately won't count because their choice, presidential candidate X, they argue, isn't eligible to be president. But the Supreme Court has decided that standing to sue can't be based on highly generalized grievances shared by the world at large. To sue, the plaintiff must have suffered some distinctive harm that affects him specially, like being the losing candidate in an election. Courts have dismissed these natural-born cases because the plaintiff voters can't show distinctive individual harm. The interesting natural-born definition issue has been saved for another day, another election, with some judges more confident about the ultimate answer than others. But these plaintiffs aren't the only ones who've taken a special legal interest in this past election. There's a woman in Illinois who sued to make President Bush and Senator Obama co-presidents for life, and a prisoner in Virginia who urged that, for the prisoner's own services rendered, Senator Obama must be named president. Yep, this election has sparked a lot of interest, as shown by such litigation. But so far, same outcome for every single one of these lawsuits. Case dismissed. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. We've gotten a bit of snow over the weekend, and as we head into the Monday, a winter weather advisory remains in effect through the morning hours for Champaign, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, McLean, Piatt, and Vermilion counties. There was more snow to the north. For today, in western Illinois, it'll be mostly cloudy and windy with a few flurries. Elsewhere, cloudy and windy with periods of snow and flurries. Some rain will be mixed in with snow in the far south. Highs today will range from 25 in northwest Illinois to 38 in the far south. For today in Champaign-Urbana, cloudy and windy, periods of light snow, additional accumulations less than an inch, and temperatures will hover around 30 degrees. For tonight, in Illinois, mostly cloudy with some lingering flurries in the eastern areas tonight. In Indiana, cloudy with areas of light snow and flurries, lows from only 13 in northwest Illinois to 27 far south. For tonight, mostly cloudy in Champaign-Urbana, a few evening flurries and a low of around 20. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny across the two states, and highs from 32 in northern Indiana to 45 in southwest Illinois, 35 in Champaign-Urbana. Cloudy tomorrow night with a low of around 30, then on Wednesday, cloudy and some rain showers, maybe mixing with snow towards sunset, and a high of around 40 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, December 1st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.